So when Pastor Micah asked me to preach again, the first thing I thought of was, wow, I really didn't mess up last year when I preached with them and we're gone at men's camp. So I thought, woo, that's a good thing. But last year when he asked me to preach, he had actually given me what he wanted me to preach about because the women's group had just finished a Bible study. And he asked me to go through that, just things that we had learned from that. And so that was easy. And then this time he kind of said, well, it's Lent if you want to do something on Lent or whatever you want to do. And so it was a really broad subject. So I looked into Lent. We as a church, I've noticed here, don't really follow Lent in terms of celebrate it or practice it. For more liturgical churches, they're the ones that do. They're the ones that will give up something for 40 days. Catholics won't eat fish, anything but fish on Fridays. They don't eat meat on Fridays. And just different things like that. But one thing that I found interesting was that Lent is usually talked about being 40 days from Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, to Easter Sunday, and it's actually 46 days. Because I read on the internet what I thought was really interesting is that some of these groups or denominations that will faithfully practice Lent, Sundays are their free days. And so if they give up, say, sugar, they can eat sugar on Sundays throughout the season of Lent. So I thought that was really interesting. I'm not sure everybody who follows or practices Lent does that, but I just found that interesting. So I thought Lent is a good time for us as a congregation to do a self-inventory. It's a good time to really look at your relationship with Christ and if there's anything maybe in your life that has crept in that either needs to be changed or removed. So before I get started, let's pray. Father God, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to bring your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would just speak through me today and that my words would just glorify and honor you and just plant seeds in the hearts of those who are listening. And I thank you for your faithfulness, for the message that you have given me. And I pray that anything I say that is not of you will just be stricken from their minds. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. So turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 3, but I'm going to focus more on verse 1 when we get into my message. So it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so this scripture depicts a race. And what is the finish line of faith to a believer? What are we racing towards? I believe that that is a life that is more Christ-like today than it was yesterday. And we're not trying to be perfect because nobody is, but that we are making progress because perfection is impossible. And if you aren't making progress, there's a few questions I want you to think about. What is holding you back? What is tripping you up in your spiritual race? What is slowing your progress towards Christ-likeness? In other words, what would God say is presently keeping you from being the champion he would like you to be? What's hindering you from living a life of obedience? And Hebrews chapter 12 starts with the word therefore. And so as we see, when you see the word therefore, you ask, what is it there for? And so this references back to Hebrews chapter 11. And if you guys are familiar with Hebrews chapter 11, it's also known as the Faith Hall of Fame. And it's where the author of Hebrews goes through all of those people who have come before and have run the race successfully. And so it encourages us as believers to become spiritual champions as well. But what's comforting to me about the list of the people listed in Hebrews chapter 11 is none of them were perfect. When you take a look at the list, you see that you have Abraham, and he was a liar. You have Jacob, and he was a thief. You have Rahab, and she was a prostitute. Moses had a temper problem and was a murderer. David was an adulterer and a murderer. And so these were ordinary people that God chose to do extraordinary things through them. And while these people weren't perfect, they weren't even close to perfect, but they progressed towards Christ's likeness, which is what the author is asking us to do. And so what sin, habit, attitude, or fear keeps you from running your race of faith the way that you ought? Like the champions who have gone before us, we are not perfect either, and we all carry a lot of stuff throughout life that tends to impede our spiritual progress. But we need to remove those wrong attitudes and actions. And if we do make that decision to change, it doesn't occur accidentally. And so we want to remove, verse 1 says we want to remove, to lay aside, and to put away the attitudes and actions that don't please God and adversely affect our walk of faith. So there's two things I want to highlight here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. First, it talks about laying aside. And in the Greek, which I'm not even going to try and pronounce for you, it gives you a picture of somebody who is laying something aside and then pushing it away beyond their reach. And it implies a deliberate decision to make a permanent change of attitude or behavior. And what I like about that is you actually have to turn and move towards whatever that is to pick it up again. Because the Greek tells that you're pushing it aside and out of reach. And so I thought that was a really good word picture for me. I'm a word picture kind of person. The second thing I want to highlight is that these incorrect attitudes and actions are called weights in a lot of translations. In some translations, they're called things that hinder. And I really like the word weight here, again, because of word pictures. You can picture a heavy barbell or hand weight or something. And in the Greek, this word describes a burden or something so heavy and cumbersome that it impedes a runner from running his race as he should. And this word was also used to signify the actions of athletes during that time, where they would deliberately strip themselves of all weight prior to competition. And that meant losing excess weight through diet and exercise. And then on the day of the race, they would basically strip off all their clothes except the bare minimum that they could wear to run that race victoriously. And have you guys ever seen like a track and field event? I'm sure we all have at, you know, either high school or college or even the Olympics. You find that the runners are not running in like full jogging suits. Even if it's cold out, they'll wear that up to the point that their race starts, and then they will strip off their jogging suit and wear just the bare minimum, usually small shorts and tank tops. And nowadays you see the athletes that are really serious about running, like in the Olympics, they'll wear what I would call those little onesies that are supposed to be aerodynamic because there's no flapping material or whatever. And what's interesting that I found out too is track shoes nowadays can run anywhere from like 9.6 ounces to I think it's 1.5, whereas a regular pair of tennis shoes is like 2.5 pounds. And so those people who are truly serious about running and winning that race are going to buy really good shoes for that. And so this demands attention and their devotion. You know, they're devoted to winning this race, and so they're going to do whatever is necessary to do it. And it's not going to happen by accident. They take that initiative to make that change. And it's not easy. and it usually takes a lot of time. A runner typically doesn't wake up one morning and decide he's going to go sprint the 100 in the Olympics. There's a lot of practice involved in doing something like that. And they're probably going to fail at different times, but that's okay because they keep going. They get up and they just start again. And this sends a real strong message to us that if we want to please God and do something significant with our lives, we have to make the choice to remove those weights from our own lives. And what if those athletes tried to run their race with loads of extra weight? You know, they wouldn't be able to run very far. Just the other day, Dave and I were watching a Mariners spring training game. They were playing the Dodgers. And I don't remember which player it was because I half read and half watch the game. And I remember hearing the announcers talking about this one play where one of the players had hit a ground ball and ran towards first, and he was thrown out. And the announcers had said, you know, if he wasn't wearing all those gold chains around his neck, he probably would have made it to first in time. And I thought that was really interesting because it just shows how weight really holds us back and doesn't allow us to progress as far as we need to go or as quickly as we need to go. And this is exactly what happens with sinful attitude, what sinful attitudes and habits do with our walk with the Lord. If we don't remove them, they eventually knock us down and out of the race of faith. And I think Lent is a really good time for us to take that self-inventory and think about what are we doing in our lives that we need to change. And if you haven't started, Lent started a week and a half ago on Ash Wednesday. It's never too late to start. You know, you still have 4 weeks until Easter Sunday. And you don't have to wait for Lent. You can do it at any time. So what are some of the weights that weigh us down in our race towards Christ's likeness? The first one I want to talk about is the weight of outright sin. And these are the things that are in our life that we know are wrong, but we just choose to ignore that God wants us to remove them. And so they could be things like anger, lying, materialism, unconfessed addiction, jealousy, bitterness, greed, lots of different things. You know, the list can go on and on. And these sins trip up the believer often repeatedly. You know, how many times have you seen somebody who is a Christian who has some bitterness in their lives and they're often tripped up in their spiritual walk because of that bitterness? And Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." The second weight I want to talk about is the weight of besetting sin. And these are sins that we have tried to get rid of in the past, but they keep coming back to haunt us. So these could be memories of past mistakes that you've made, that maybe you haven't confessed, bouts with addiction, wrongful habits that we can't break. And you can never truly run your race of faith if you're constantly looking back over your shoulder at your past. What happens is you just keep tripping yourself up because you're looking backwards and then you're not moving forward. So what ghosts from yesterday are haunting your todays, distracting you and weighing you down? This is something that we have to deal with personally, and you can't hide it in the closet of your mind because the Lord knows that it's there. And you need to take it to him because he already knows about it. Confess it so he can forgive you, and then he'll put you right back in that race for you. Psalm 103:12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from you." The next one is the weight of distractions. And these aren't necessarily bad things. They're just things that distract us from progressing spiritually. They slow us down, they take our eyes off the finish line, they hold us back, and they impede our progress. Examples of this could be ambition or work. It could be a hobby. It could be movies or a TV show. It could be screen time, which is your iPad or phone, your family, video games. The list can go on and on. It's really anything that distracts you from time with the Lord. And distractions are not inherently bad, but when they do pull your time away from Jesus, then they become distractions that impede your race. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to a friend this week, and she was sharing with me about their rules in their household. And she was telling me that she has five children, and the only person that has a cell phone is the one who drives and has a job. And that cell phone is only used for texting and phone calls in the event of an emergency. And she does share, you know, talk to friends and stuff, but not often. But she's not allowed to download apps. They have a rule in the house that she cannot put a password on the phone so that she can check it at any time, or the parents can check it at any time. They also have video games, but their rule is you can only play it twice a week for 30 minutes. And they have set days and set times that they're allowed to play. And outside of that, you don't even bother asking. And she says that really helps with keeping our kids focused on family and our kids focused on the things that need to be done. Then they're not distracted by everything else going on. I mean, how many times have you gone out to eat and you see everybody at the table on their phones and nobody is talking to each other? You know, it's really sad. And so I encourage you to look for the distractions in your life. So turn with me to Luke 10. And it's verses 38 through 42. And what I really like about this scripture is I can totally relate to Martha. So this, I'll just read it to you. It says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered her and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" You know, I read this story, and I can so relate to Martha because I used to be so concerned when people would be coming over that I had to have everything perfect. And Jesus is telling her, you know, don't worry about those things. It doesn't have to be perfect. You know, Martha was worried about, is the table set correctly? Is the floor clean? Is the food going to be on time? And then she sees Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, and she gets frustrated and distracted by that, and she completely loses focus that Jesus is there. And so then turn with me to John chapter 12. So in John chapter 12, I'm only going to read verses 1 and 2. It says, "Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him." And what I find interesting in this scripture is here we see Martha again serving, but I believe that she has found her joy in serving. She took what Jesus said to heart when he reprimanded her before. And I believe that reading this, the way I look at it is she's now found her joy in serving, and she can serve and not be frustrated and distracted by everybody else. She can serve and have joy in it and still listen to Jesus. And that just really hit me when I read that the other day. And it just really shows that when you focus on Jesus and take what he says to heart, it can really affect your life. And so my last weight is the weight of fear. So do you have a fear of sharing your faith? Do you have a fear of failure? Do you have a fear of what the Lord's going to ask you to do? Fear can be paralyzing, especially when it comes to running the Christian faith walk, if you will. Because it can take you through some pretty unfamiliar terrain, some pretty dangerous places, some threatening situations. You know, Pastor Micah talked about they were going to go over to the border. border of Somalia when he was in Africa, and because of the unrest, they couldn't do that. I've been to Haiti during an election, and they actually had to completely shut down the compound when we were there because there's so many uprises and just things that can go wrong, especially during an election. I don't know if you guys have heard the news lately about Haiti and all the problems that they're having. And it can be pretty scary, but when the Lord calls you to do something, we're supposed to step out of our comfort zone and do it. But that race of faith that we're on is an adventure. And if you're not willing to step out of your comfort zone, then you're going to miss out, because God has some great things planned for us. You know, there's going to be times that we're going to be anxious. There's going to be times that we're going to freeze up and we're not going to know what to do or what to say. And at other times, we're just going to stomp our feet and put our arms across our chest and say, I'm not going any further. I don't care what you ask me, Lord. I've been there. But we have to let that fear go and trust that Jesus is always going to be there, because he is. You know, he is with us, and we need to trust in his presence. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And someone once shared with me an acronym for fear, and it's false evidence appearing real. And when you think about it, in most cases, that is what fear is. It's just Satan playing tricks on our mind and telling us that we can't do things when we really can. So I know that this list is probably not all inclusive. There's probably other weights that you might be carrying. But we need to think about what God would say is presently keeping us from being the spiritual champion he wants you to be. And how do we go about losing these weights? It's not going to be easy, because most sins are stubborn and habits involve years of allowing that to be a part of our life. So ways that we can start making permanent change in our attitude and behavior. Number one is identifying the weights. And so some of you might have already thought of things in your mind while I was talking about things that maybe you need to get rid of. I think we're usually pretty aware of most outright sins and besetting sins, maybe not all of them. Distractions and fear are often weights, I think, that we don't think about a lot. They're just a little bit more difficult to identify. And so I challenge you to pray about it and ask the Lord to reveal to you what it is that's weighing you down. And when you do pray about it, make sure you take the time to listen, because he will reveal it to you. The other thing you can do is take an inventory of your days and think about, maybe write things down. For an entire week, think about, what is it that you do every single day? When you get up in the morning, is the first thing that you do, turn on the TV and watch the news? Perhaps it's when you come home at night after work, if you work, it's you just sit on the couch and you watch TV, or maybe you get on your iPad or tablet. Maybe there's an app on your phone or your iPad that you have to play every single day, a game, because you're getting up there in levels or whatever. Those are the things that the Lord's going to put on your mind. What are the things that you have to do every single day? And I challenge you to replace that habit, that thing, with God's word for an entire week. So if you're in the habit of getting up in the morning and immediately turning on the TV, wait 15 minutes and take that first 15 minutes of your day and spend time in God's word, praying and listening to him, and see what he says to you. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? And so he's challenging us to examine ourselves, Paul is, in this scripture. And so the second thing we need to do to remove the weights is to confess and repent of our sins. So confess and repent of what is weighing you down. Call it like God sees it. Confession accepts responsibility for our actions and acknowledges what God already knows. And then repentance is turning from that sin and turning instead to God. And the farther we progress towards being spiritual champions, the more sin doesn't look good. And we turn from sin, not only what it does for us, but also because of what that sin does to God. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And Acts 3:19 says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." And then the last thing is to be filled with God's Spirit. So once sin has been confessed and forsaken, God forgives and gives us his Spirit to enable us to live victoriously over it. And trying to live above sin and trying to get rid of these weights that hold us back in our race is like trying to drive a car without gasoline. It's probably next to impossible to try to get rid of an addiction without God's help. I just can't imagine how people do it, and I would imagine that very few are successful long term. But it requires time in God's Word. And through the Spirit's power, we're given the resources that break the chains of our sin and remove the weights that hold us back so we can run the race and become a spiritual champion. And the process may take just a little bit of time, or it may take years. But we have to be willing to just keep going and keep progressing forward and moving forward. And the other thing we need to remember to do is to put on God's armor every single day. Because when you're trying to get rid of a sin or something in your life, without God's word and without God's power, it will be almost impossible. Ephesians 6:10 through 18 talks about putting on that full armor of God, and I believe that's something that we need to do every single day. And Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And so hold on to that power and just break those chains that are weighing us down. You know, someone once shared with me an analogy about sin that really hit home for me. And they said, picture your Christian life like a dimmer switch on a light, hanging in a kitchen or something. And when you first become a believer, the light is on, but it's turned down really low. And so as you draw closer to God, that dimmer switch, God turns that dimmer switch up. And what happens is he reveals sin in our lives and weights in our lives little by little so that we can see, okay, now I need to work on this. And then when you conquer that weight and get rid of it, he turns that dimmer switch up just a little bit more, and he reveals something else in our lives. Can you imagine if you became a Christian and all of a sudden it was just one bright light and it said, get rid of all this that's in your life? That would be really daunting, and it would be really difficult. So the Holy Spirit is urging us to take a good look at our lives and remove everything that weighs us down and keeps us from a life of obedience. But you have to be honest with yourself and honest with God. Do you have a habit or a wrong attitude that's weighing you down? Are you plagued by a fear that keeps you from fulfilling your potential in Christ? So make a rock-solid quality decision today to grab hold of those unnecessary weights and remove, lay aside, and permanently put them away from your life. And once you make that decision, you'll find yourself running the race of faith with much more ease as you press on to victory. And I remember hearing in a Beth Moore Bible study when she was talking about this one time, she said, and if your name was listed in the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11, what would it say? Let's pray. Lord, we know that you're on our side and that you want to help us. So today we're asking you to help us lay aside the attitudes, negative thought patterns, and bad habits that keep pulling us down into defeat. We're exhausted from trying to live for you while dragging along these old weights behind us at the same time. We need to drop them and leave them behind. So today we're asking you to help us make the big break. Lord, help us make this day the day we permanently drop all the unnecessary weights that hinder us and walk away from them forever and run this race of faith victoriously. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you guys for coming. Kind of relaxed today. You are dismissed.